Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. It's Sunday, September 6th, 2009. Hi everyone, and welcome to our second episode. I've got a lot to cover with you today, some mainstream tech news, as well as some very exciting developments with certain assistive technology programs, including screen readers and a couple of exciting hardware developments as well. So, moving right along. On September 1st, on Tuesday, those of you who use Gmail on a regular basis may have noticed that for a couple of hours that day, Gmail essentially died. This included not only Google Email, but also any Gmail applications like Google Docs or Google Calendar. Google said that it was making some changes to the system. Apparently, these things were designed to improve operation and did exactly the opposite. One or two, several maybe, of the routers were overloaded, and this produced a chain reaction and basically knocked out a whole bunch of routers so that all these requests couldn't be processed. In about 2 hours, they fixed everything, but I know for my part that there were 2 hours of my life that I felt pretty much rudderless. It's amazing how you never really notice email until you lose it. Speaking of email, there was also a story on LockerGnome.com this week that a woman in New Zealand working for a healthcare company was fired from her job for causing disharmony in the workplace. Apparently, this happened because she sent out an email to fellow employees telling them how to fill out certain forms. Her employers said that certain things in the email were very confrontational. On LockerGnome, they allude to the fact that there was a time and date that were highlighted in red in the email, and also there was a sentence in all caps that was highlighted in blue. Don't know the whole story here, but it seems an awfully specious thing to fire an employee over. Incidentally, she took the company to court and received in compensation a sum of $17,500. This just underlines the point that in our culture, email is becoming more and more prominent, and we can't be too careful in what we say and how we say it. There's really no good segue into this, but I did want to talk a little bit about Twitter. This is going to be the segment on social networking for this week. And I'll pick Twitter because there are a few interesting little stories I found concerning this microblogging service, Twitter.com. TechCrunch in particular had a couple of interesting articles. One article in particular attempted to analyze the reason why the number of users for Twitter has grown so rapidly within the past few months. I think in March there were 19 million unique visitors to the Twitter website. And in July there were 41 million unique visitors. And a company called RapLeaf wanted to analyze the reason for this and try and figure it out. Essentially, what they found out seems, at least to me, to be pretty self-explanatory. The more followers you have, the more popular you are, the more notice you'll get, and the more reason you'll have to stick with it. As your follower base grows, essentially, you'll become more prolific. At least that's what this company says. So, you know, there's that, having a lot of followers, and there's also sticking with it. A lot of people get on Twitter and decide after a few days that they don't want it anymore, or they just forget about it and stop maintaining their feed. The research also found that within a couple of months, a lot of people stopped using the service. Still, it is becoming ever more and more popular. Some of the TV networks have now been getting into the action. So, for a little while, CNN and other news networks have had Twitter commentary on the bottom of the screen as their stories are going along. Listeners to the reports can tweet in with their comments to the stories. And, you know, some of them, I guess, have been posted on the bottom of the screen. I haven't, of course, being blind, noticed this for myself, but it's been going on for a while. Well, now Fox is doing the same kind of thing. Apparently, they're going to be rerunning some shows, I guess Fringe and when they start Glee up. They're going to have some twittering going on the bottom of the screen as the show is progressing. Apparently, these producers and some of the cast members will be sending tweets to these certain accounts. I believe it's Fringe on Fox and Glee on Fox, concerning the show, and certain selected fans' tweets will be put up there too. It's a monitored stream, so, I mean, you know, you send in a tweet and it may or may not appear, depending on what the moderators deem appropriate. This sounds exciting and all, but I really do wonder how many people are going to be paying attention to that. I mean, if they're watching the show, are they going to be watching the bottom of the screen at the same time? I don't know. Maybe it doesn't sound that maybe it isn't that challenging visually, but it kind of seems like it would be to me. My last story on Twitter comes from, well, myself. This is an application that I have found for using Twitter without having to go to the website to check my tweets. There are a lot of these applications. OutTwit, for example, where you can get your tweets in your inbox. TW Inbox, which does essentially the same thing. And there are other applications. Blind listeners might know that earlier this year, there were a set of scripts for JAWS for Windows called Jotter. It was a set of scripts that allowed you to access your tweets while you were doing other tasks, and the tweets did not come up in a separate window, but rather you could kind of access them on the fly from anywhere. Well, this new program, it's been around for several weeks now, it's called Quitter, Q-W-I-T-T-E-R. Essentially, this program functions under the same premise as Jotter, but it does have some extended functions that Jotter did not have. For me, it's very exciting because I can simply hit Control Windows up arrow or down arrow to check my tweets. I can also monitor replies that come in to me and also my direct messages. I can even search Twitter as well with certain commands and look at the top trends also, again, without having to go to sites like Twitter search in order to do that. So I found it extremely helpful, extremely fast and responsive. And I would encourage any blind user who has become somewhat addicted to Twitter, as I have, to check out this program. Moving from an accessible Twitter application, I'd like to talk a little bit more about an accessible screen reader. Snow Leopard is going to be released soon, as we all know, and apparently there have been some major updates to VoiceOver, which is the Macintosh version, Macintosh screen reader that is bundled with the Leopard software. Macworld supposes that there aren't that many major outward improvements to Leopard. Apple basically stated that they wanted to perfect all the features that were already included in the Leopard package and provide a little more depth and richness to them, I suppose you would say. So there really weren't that many new features. However, there were a lot of significant improvements made to the VoiceOver screen reader that comes with Leopard. The Maccessibility Network blog has a great article on those improvements, but kind of went over my head since I don't use it that much. But I will say that if you do use VoiceOver, apparently it's only a $29 upgrade from the current version of Leopard to Snow Leopard, so it'd be well worth the cost. There are also a couple other new screen reader software packages going to be released soon, but the cost, of course, is a lot higher. Humanware has released some information indicating that it is going to be collaborating with BlackBerry to develop Orator, which is a screen reader for BlackBerry smartphones that will be bundled with certain smartphones in the near future. I don't know a whole lot about pricing information, but my guess is that it will probably cost similarly to what other screen readers for cell phones cost, in $200 or $300 range. The JAWS 11 public beta is coming out this week. JAWS is, of course, Job Access with Speech, developed by Freedom Scientific, and it's currently in its 10th incarnation. The 11th incarnation will be coming out sometime later this year. Version 11 is going to have some new features, a few of which are detailed on the JAWS 11 beta public beta website. The new features page does suggest that there will be some improvements, including improved access for Web 2.0 content in certain web pages, as well as a new feature designed to look up material that you might find on the web or in a document using things like Wikipedia or Wiktionary or other certain resources. This feature is called Research It. I'm looking forward to this new release, not so much for the Research It feature, which they really tout on the website, but also because there is supposedly better interaction between JAWS and ARIA-rich internet content, and I'll be looking forward to seeing that. Oh, incidentally, for those of you interested in Daisy books, I will say that FS Reader, which has been about $79 from Freedom Scientific, which is a Daisy book reader, is now going to be bundled free of charge with the new version of JAWS 11. One last thing about the public beta, and then I'll stop beating it to death. Apparently, JAWS 11 is going to now support the new Focus 40 Blue Braille display developed by Freedom Scientific. I believe it's a recent hardware development, and JAWS 11 is going to include a driver to support that display in its new release. Speaking of Braille displays, if any of you use them, or, like in my case, want to use them but can't afford it, you all know that they are tremendously expensive. A 40-cell Braille display costs several thousand dollars, for instance, and that's only 40 characters in one solid line. It is not multiple lines, it is only that small number of characters. The expense is caused by the fact that these displays are essentially a bunch of metal pins, and each pin is governed by a small motor. And all of these motors have to interact together to generate the dots. Well, according to the Accessible Devices blog, a researcher for NASA has come up with the idea to develop Braille displays that contain not metal pins governed by motors, but small devices called artificial muscles. This technology is called electroactive polymers. The premise is that there's going to be a piece of acrylic film, and certain types of voltage will be applied across the film, and that will determine which dots go up and down. This article says that they will be a lot less expensive than those currently on the market, and that it will be easier to manufacture something that doesn't just present Braille a line at a time, but can potentially present whole pages at a time. I think this is tremendously exciting, and I'm looking forward to this. I currently have a Braille display that kind of works. It's 10 years old. It doesn't work with my computer. It's got a serial port, but my computer doesn't interact with it very well. And I can't afford a new one, because the one I want is about $5,000, the one that I would need. And this, although I'm not sure what the prices of these are, if they're less expensive and they have more than 40 cells, that's enough in my book to justify buying one. The next story, last story, is also hardware related. The VEDA International Robot Research and Development Center in Japan has developed a new wheelchair. This new chair is going to be really streamlined, cost about $5,000, and have several advantages over current models, one of which, of course, is it has a built-in accelerator and will accelerate to about 2 miles an hour, I think 3.5 kilometers per hour. So it's not as fast as a scooter, but they're getting faster and faster, these chairs. Also, it's operated by a joystick rather than the pressing of buttons, as a lot of other electronic wheelchairs are. The article said that these chairs were supposed to come out in the autumn of 2009, but as yet, the VEDA company has not selected a company that will mass produce these, so hopefully they'll be coming out soon. That's all for our stories for today. I'll be sure to put up the show notes giving you links to the stories so that you can read them at your leisure. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly with comments or suggestions, please email us at techaccessweekly@gmail.com, or you can visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.